Session number 10111.
Squadron Leader Mansfeld, 302.
Well, there was a time when we had no ex-president, Beneš, left Czechoslovakia, and they wanted to get a new president. So there was a time when they wanted to take a chief of staff for to be a president. So I was ordered to go to Moravia, to the airfield. I think it was Prostějov. I'm not quite sure now, but anyway, it was near the headquarters, military headquarters for the Czechoslovak general staff. And there, General, I can't remember the name now. Yes. Now,
You think it was who?
I think it was General Krejci.
Yes.
I flew there and took General Krejci to Prague, to Ruzině, that was the airfield there, with one or two of his office, so the chiefs. And there I was supposed to wait until they give me order whether I should fly back or wait for the general, because he was supposed to take over as the as the president. And I was not allowed even to go to the military airfield, which was just on the other side of the Prague, to have aircraft service. Eventually I did get there and soon came back into the Ruzině airfield waiting for the general. And he was supposed to come in about 2 hours' time. He was supposed to go to the parliament and take over and come back. And instead of that, when I was listening to the radio, they said he's not taking over, and I was told to fly back to the military effort. And that was the end of the presidency of General Krejci. Otherwise, he was prepared to take over, but he was told by the politicians not to take over, just to let it go.
And this would have been at the time of Munich, was it? In the autumn of 1938?
Yes, before the occupation.
Now, can you tell me how you managed to get out of Czechoslovakia? Was it easy?
Yes. More or less it was easy. But we had to be careful because naturally there were a lot of people who were trying to spy for the German. I see a lot of people, not a lot of Czechs, but Czech Sudeten people who could speak very well Czech, or some of the Czechs who wanted to be friendly with Germans, we had to be careful with whom we spoke. But as it happened, my commanding officer from the first, he was in a First World War legionnaire in France, Czechoslovak legionnaire in France. We had some legionnaires in Russia and some legionnaires in Italy during the First World War. So he came and he organized, these people usually organized for us to go to Poland or somewhere to get. Now, I went home first of all to our restaurant, but naturally very often or almost every day I went back to Prague and to see my friends or to go to the Air Force. And in one of these days, near the airfield, I met my commanding officer, Plukovnik Stanovsky, or Colonel Stanovsky, who called me into him and said, "What are you doing?" So I said, "Well, nothing, sir. I am just helping at home in a public house, but I don't know what to do yet." So he said, "Don't you want to go out?" So I said, "Yes, sir, right away." So he said, "Right. Go into the Lipa," that was the restaurant in Vysočany, at the beginning of the Prague there, and report to Lieutenant Schneider. And Schneider was one of the chappie who was the staff officer on the Air Force. So I did so, and he put me in to company with other people, six of us in one group. But before we went away, Captain Novak, the famous acrobat, he came and asked us that whether we would go, one of us, with them, because he now lost one of his people. So I said I can go right away, and the six of us went to Ostrava, and from there to Poland.
Was it easy to cross the frontier?
Well, what happened actually was we had a chappie there who was a sergeant in the, which is called Hradní Stráž, the same as Buckingham Palace. Here they have got the soldiers there.
What do you call guards. It?
Guards walking up there. So this chappie was in the Czechoslovak. Well, anyway, he was one of those who were guarding the president and those. So he was supposed to take us on the other side. We went by trains to Ostrava, and there we met this chappie who took us on the other side, almost on the other side, and he showed us where the border is, and we went over the border to Poland at the Dublin in the evening, and he went back to Prague. This chappie to get somebody else. Now,
I think that you said once you got into Poland, the Poles didn't want you to stay there.
Well, when we came to Poland, they were afraid of the Germans to have somebody there, because they were still friendly with Germany. There was no any sort of help to Czechoslovakia officially, so they didn't want us to stay in Poland, and they took us to police headquarters for interrogations, and we went to, and because we couldn't sleep in these on a police, they sent us to hotel. But we had to promise them that we shall not go back to Czechoslovakia. Of course, that was the last thing we would have done at the time. And when we were all there, then we left for Cheshin, which was the police commissariat over there, for interrogation proper. There we met some other people. Among them was Colonel Svoboda, who after the war became the president of Czechoslovakia then. But he was then in charge in that place. And when the interrogation came in, from somewhere else, he told them what happened. And we even then promised to be sent further on. Now, Colonel Svoboda told us that he has got a secret mission, and he is going to see General Prchala, and that he would very quickly want to go and meet him. Now, after that, we stayed there about a week or so, and we were transferred to Krakow, where the concentration of the Czech refugees was
taking place,
yes. At that time, we had no more money, and all the food and everything was free of charge. And we didn't get very much, and we were not very well treated. In fact, some of the chaps almost made a decision to go back to Czechoslovakia. Fortunately, there was Senator Vojtěch Beneš, that was the brother, older brother of President Beneš, who gave us a really patriotic
talk,
really good talk, and from that moment we never again thought that anybody would have left and gone back to Czechoslovakia.
Were they thinking of going back to Czechoslovakia because of the way
because
in which
of
the Poles
were treating them? Yes, some of them were disappointed because they expected a little bit more from Poland than just be told, here you are, and off you go, we don't want you here. And we had to sign for Foreign Legion.
Sign for?
Foreign Legion.
Religion?
Foreign Legion. Legion, French Foreign Legion.
For the French Foreign Legion.
Yes. That was one of the things, conditions why we were going to, we were left there until going by the boat to Boulogne.
I think that you went to England through France.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me how you came to go to England via France?
Well, we went by the boat called
the Euralia?
No, that was the one from Gibraltar. But the Polish boat, I can't remember now, it doesn't matter really. But it was one of the Polish boats. We stopped first in Dover, and only refugees, civilians, were allowed to go to England. But we, the military, were not allowed to go there, not even sort of go on a shore. And we had to go back to Dover, Boulogne. From Dover to Boulogne, and from there we went to France.
Did the French receive you any better than the Poles?
Well, the French, we already had a chappy Czechoslovak military attaché, or it was the Czechoslovak air attaché in Boulogne, and who was arranging the transfer of the Czechoslovak people down to Paris. But there was an incident about the national anthem, if you want me to tell you about.
Yes.
You know the Frenchmen, they sing national anthem always, every time, everything, anything, a very happy one and very sort of encouraging, whereas the Czechoslovak is it's very solemn, and it tells you where is your country, where is your freedom. And so when the Frenchmen told us, more or less, well, not ordered us, but told us, you sing your national anthem, everybody was so quiet that it was like a death. But fortunately, our Czechoslovak officer, the major, jumped out and said, gentlemen, don't worry. He thinks that it is like the French national anthem when the song was sung on every occasion, and he doesn't know about our national anthem. So let's sing it to him. So we started. And we didn't go more than one or two phrases when he stood to attention and was attention all the time. Sorry, I can't say it properly. Well, he suddenly realized that our national anthem is something completely different to him. And well, that was that. And after that, we stay there, I think, one or 2 days, and went by train to Paris.
Did the French seem to be glad to have Czechoslovak people?
Well, he didn't mind really. He took it as being the soldier. He didn't put any diplomacy or anything. He just said, "Oh, Czechoslovaks, yes, they are our friends. Let's take them into the place where they wanted to go." And as it is, our military attaché has already briefed him what's going to happen, everything. So he was perhaps glad he got rid of us when we went to Paris.
Did you want to join the French Air Force?
Well, we wanted to join the French Air Force, but not the French Foreign Legion. That was the trouble there. But then, fortunately, they said there is no war on, and so you have to go to Foreign Legion at the moment when the war is declared. You shall be transferred to the French Air Force. Well, we were a little bit sort of, what should I call it?
Discontented?
Not discontented, but a little bit apprehensive, I should say. But still we signed. We went to Paris and we waited for a transfer. Some of us went then and some forgot to go and stayed in Paris. They couldn't be then found and stayed in Paris. But quite a few of us went to France, to Marseille, Port Saint-Jean. That was the center for Foreign Legion, where we got uniforms, military uniforms, and our civilian clothes was sent back to France, to Paris. But that was the end of it. We never saw it again. Although they said that they will keep it for us until we come back. And from there, we went to Blida. From Blida, we went to Oran. Sorry, we went to Oran. From Oran to Blida, and from Blida to Sidi Belabeth. That was a French Foreign Legion. And there we stayed, I think it was 2 months. Anyway, we stayed there until the day. Actually, in Paris, we were billeted in a place called Ballard. And there, from the Czechoslovak consulate, we got 20 francs each. We went for the medical examination. And then we had an examination for the Foreign Legion, rentgen and formal signing for the Legion for 5 years. And on the 28th of June, in the evening, we went to Marseille. Only the warrant officers and the NCOs. We started 2200 at 10 o'clock in the evening. Yes, when we came to Marseille, we were billeted in Saint-Jean, Port Saint-Jean, in 1st Battalion, and detached to 1st Battalion, 1st Regiment of the Foreign Legion, and had a medical examination. They gave us uniforms, and our civilians were sent to on a Czech consulate, civilian dress Czech consulate. And then, on a day later, on the 31st of June, we went by the ship Governor General Tierman to Oran, where we came at 10 o'clock next morning, and from there we went to 1st Battalion on a Foreign Legion in Sidi Belabeth, where we came at 7 o'clock in the evening, or 9 o'clock in the evening, and we were billeted in Sepetra, that was the center of the Foreign Legion. We had again the medical. We had medicals all the time. We get a pick ears
inoculation.
Inoculation. against the well, against everything. And I got the new numbers, which was 4,411, or was it 84,471? That was my name. Well, and we stayed there all the weeks, and we were digging the streets, and for hospital we were making everything ready for, not ready actually, everything smooth for the hospital, the streets and the walk around. Just for the walk around. There we were again
inoculated.
And then we had to stay 2 days in bed because the inoculation was such that somebody couldn't walk at all. And we were without food for 2 days to drink only the tea and milk. It was the first time I had a tea with the milk. I was a little bit surprised it was in a foreign region. We got, each of us, we got 5 francs from the Czechoslovak military attaché. Next day, second or third day, we were sent over to the main casa, main blocks across the road, CIC, for the square bashing training. We got one uniform, normal uniform, and 2 khakis uniform for walking and one for walking in the evening out. And 2 shirts, green, and under pants, 2 handkerchiefs, 2 pair of socks, and the strap for the rifle, and the cleaning material. That was on the 10th of July, and on the 19th of July we already got the first 4 weeks' pay with a prim, which was 350 francs. That was something very unusual. And 3 days later we got again injections on the 22nd July, and on the 5th of August, 3rd injection, where we had an injection all the time. On the 12th of August, our young officers came also to the Foreign Legion as a sergeants. There were about 20 of them. On the 3rd of September, I got from my home a French
letter?
No. Teach yourself French. On the 3rd September, I got teach yourself French. At the same time, that was the day of declaration of the war. And at the same time, we went to French Air Force, Blida. It was at 11 o'clock, we came to Blida, RAF, not RAF, the French Air Force Blida.
Did you see any action against the Germans in France?
No, not at all.
So when was
when we went to Blida, then we went from there we went to France, which is called,
did you say Chateau Roux?
Well, we went first to Blida, from there we went to Chateau Roux, yes, and then we started to, instead of going to the regiment, we started to go down. We went to Marseille. Can't remember now all the 5 airfields next to each other. There were Marseille, And from Marseille, then back again to Algiers via the Corsica to Algiers, and from Algiers to Blida, no, from Algiers to.
I think that you eventually got to England via Gibraltar when France collapsed in the summer of 1940, and you joined the RAF in England. Can you tell me what your impressions were of the RAF as to how it compared with what you'd experienced of the Czechoslovak Air Force? What were the differences and similarities?
Well, the Air Force, well, when we left France, we went to Gibraltar on a British ship there, and it took us, it was actually in a convoy with the battleships, etc., which went to Casablanca, and we went to make a round tour almost to America and back to Liverpool, and went to the Chomley Park, where all these Czechoslovak air force men and all the airmen and other soldiers were billeted in a tents. And that was the first time, actually. Actually, when we came to Liverpool, we went under the Czechoslovak flag and singing Czech songs, and all the people around said good luck to us, good luck. We couldn't understand what they said, whether it was good luck or good help or whatever it called, but that was that. They all said good luck and waved to us. And off